Matthew chapter 16. This month in April, we're going to be talking about I Believe and continuing our year-long theme of I Believe. That we know what we believe, but we know why we believe it. We just don't know I believe, but why I believe the things that I say I believe in. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to focus on verse 15 though. But who do you say that I am? And I want to pose this question, who is Jesus? Would you pray with me? Father, we approach your throne to thank you and to praise you, Lord God, for you are truly the reason we're here. We're here to honor you, to love you, to praise you. But Lord, I just pray that you would just anoint me, touch me, God. Not only my thoughts, my spirit, God, but my body. Give me strength, Lord God, to deliver what you want. Touch, Lord God, and anoint my lips that I may speak the oracles of God under the anointing and unction of the Holy Spirit. I submit myself to you and pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. God bless you. So the question is, who is Jesus? This question was asked over 2,000 years ago and really is still being asked today. Who is Jesus? When we come to that question, who is Jesus? A lot of people come and even back then thought he was a good teacher. He was a divine miracle worker. You know, and some would say, well, he was God's divine son who lived on earth without sin. And that is very true. Some people say, well, he was a poor carpenter's son who became, a preacher. And he had a popularity for a little while, but then he got killed. Well, kind of true, but not totally true. And then some would say, well, he was the divine being who came and possessed a human body. And while many still question today, who is Jesus? Matter of fact, today in this cancel culture we're seeing today, a lot of people are trying to cancel out the fact that Jesus is. Now, I'm not just saying was, and I'm saying is the Son of God. Wow. They don't want the name of Jesus to be spoken. If you were watching the news a couple of months, several months, well, back, I think back in January, there was, I forgot now who it was that was praying over the Congress session, and he used the term amen and a woman. Anybody remember that? And we thought, how stupid can you get? I mean, that just taking that term and shredded that thing all to pieces. It wasn't about a gender. But this just goes and proves where our culture is, trying to cancel anything to do about God, and cancel especially who Jesus was and who Jesus is. And how important it is for us as a believers to fully grasp the answer of who Jesus is. And this is something that we've got to really come to grips with, is because if we say we believe in Jesus, then comes the next question is, who is Jesus? Who was Jesus that walked upon the earth? Who is this person we call Jesus? Well, we can go to our doctrinally, our statement of faith, or declaration of faith, and we see the declaration of faith, there, and I got it highlighted. I know it's in small print, but it says we believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and born of the Virgin Mary, that Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, and that he ascended to heaven and is today at the right hand of the Father as the intercessor. Well, that's a great thing. That's a pretty good statement. That we believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. But we also have to come to this term and this grips about this, about who he is, because if we don't really come to a firm understanding, and I'm not just saying about us that I believe that Jesus is, but can I convey and communicate to others who Jesus is? What Jesus represents? Because our salvation depends not only upon us finding out who he is, but also maintaining the correct answer. If we say that Jesus is the Son of God, if we say that Jesus is our Savior, then we must walk and live according to that statement. How can I say that he's my Savior and he's my Lord and my God and all these things that we add to it if I don't live according to what I say? Many people say the name of Jesus, but they don't live according to his teachings. Many people say, I know Jesus, but then I come back to Jesus know you. Hello? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Anybody can call the name of Jesus. People say it all the time. But do they really know him? And if we could come back and ask the question, who is Jesus? Who is he? We'll go back to something I said earlier. You know, people will give you a laundry list of who he is, but who is he really? Because to say he's the only begotten Son of the Father would be true, but what does that mean? Because in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning, matter of fact, we can go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But in John 1, John addresses this. John kind of takes Genesis 1:1 and adds to it, basically fills in the blanks. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, John says in 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who's the Word? And he goes in and begins to explain it, that the Word was with God in the beginning. That Word became, he said in verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And so John began to fill in the blanks that Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God. Jesus was God in the beginning, just like in Genesis. Jesus was back there. And he began to give us the understanding that Jesus was deity. Jesus not only was with God, but Jesus was God. And he accepted in the beginning. And the events of his humanity will not have consisted. He wanted to make sure that the deity was a crucial point and was very important that we got this, that Jesus was God. It was a key doctrinal issue. And again, if we don't understand that Jesus is God, just as the Father and the Son, then everything that we've been talking about is useless. Let me go further. Unless we believe in the deity of Christ, there's no bridge for sin in our life. Because to say that Jesus died for our sins, well, if he was just a man, how could a man die for my sins? Hello? Because a man, you say, well, a man has sinful blood. A man like you and I, a human, was born into sin. That's why we see the picture being told, or the story being told, that he was born of a virgin. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. That's the virgin birth. She knew not a man. She hadn't slept with a man. Let's go further. Because here's the thing. We say we believe this, but can we explain it? Let's get to this point, the begotten. You ready? Jesus is not the creation of the Father. Right. Some of you are going, huh? He's begotten of the Father. Begotten doesn't mean created of. For him to be created, listen to me, for him to be created of the Father would lessen the deity of Christ. As a son or a daughter, you are basically a copy of your parents, not the original. People, you know, say, I look like my father, but I'm not exact copy of him. Because my mother had something to do with it. Just like our kids. You know, how many of you look at your kids and say, okay, they look like me and act like them? You know, I mean, like, Ryan looks like me and acts like her. Rachel looks like her and acts like me. And Stephanie, well, she's the middle. She's just all mixed up. But the fact of the matter is, all three of them have characteristics of mother and father. But to say that Jesus was created of the Father would have lessened him. Basically, he wouldn't be he would be kind of a less of a deity than the Father. And so for Jesus to say that I and my Father are one, well, that's really not an accurate statement. And going back to what we talked about a few weeks ago about the Trinity, we kind of get an understanding that it's not about being created, that Jesus was created of the Father, but that they are of the same essence. That's what I was talking a few weeks ago about perichoresis, that they are the same essence that they flow from. So begotten needs to be understood as being in terms of being his own, that they are of the same essence. A lot of times we get messed up and we say, I believe in the Father. Because how many of you have ever had this conversation with someone before, especially when you're talking about Trinity? And then when you're talking about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then you get talking about Jesus and the term begotten comes up. Well, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. You say, well, why do we use those terms? Good question. Because the Bible uses it. We see of the essence. But again, I want to throw this out here. I don't want to get too technical and too deep where we lose everybody. But here's the thing. It's sometimes, how do you describe God and put it in human terms? How do you describe something that no one has ever seen before and no one has ever can describe? That's why in Revelations we see John, you know, the things that John saw, and he had to put into terms that all of us could understand. And so it's kind of, yeah, it is tough. And so it's to say the Son of God, basically a part of God. I'm going to go, let's move on. So is Jesus deity? Is he God? Well, let's look at this. Because number one, to look at some things that he did when he was here on earth, it gives us an idea that yes, he is God because one, he accepted worship. Worship, if he wasn't God, to accept worship means that he would be advocating idolatry. But he accepted worship. There were acts of worship of him when he was here on earth, and he did not reject them. Next, we see he offered forgiveness. Well, we see even the religious folks said, you know, how dare you forgive sin? Well, if he wasn't God, yeah, to forgive sin would be blasphemous unless you're God. But he forgave. Only God can forgive. Yes, Jesus is God. Miracles. miracles. He did miracles. He performed miracles. Matthew 28:18 states, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Well, if he wasn't God, then how would he get authority? How would he get such authority? How would he get such power? How would he be able to do the things that he did if he was not God? But we wrestle with this term, who is Jesus, when we kind of wrap our brain around the divine, that he is God, but yet he was a man as well. He possessed a human body. He lived as a human. He walked upon this earth. I'm sure he cut his to himself a time or two. He was a carpenter by trade, by his family trade. And I'm sure, like any carpenter, he smashed his thumb a time or two. I don't know anybody that has ever swung a hammer and not hit their thumb a time or two. He preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He taught the word. The majority of Matthew's gospel we see is comprised of his teaching. Matter of fact, the majority of this. He discipled men. He invested in them through personal example, public discussion, and private conversation. He taught and he discipled people. He said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He was always about doing the Father's business and always about bringing and speaking about the kingdom of heaven. He was telling them of a better way. He was telling them that the Messiah, without coming out saying, the Messiah has come to them. But look at this. He did many miracles. 35 specific miracles as well, as well as the indication of many more being done are recorded in the Gospels. 35 are the ones that got recorded. And there were many more. Matter of fact, you read some parts in Scripture where it said, and he healed them all. And we really don't have an idea. We had kind of a guesstimation of how many. But he healed them. I don't know anyone but Jesus where 5,000 plus can come to the side of a mountain and sit there for hours and listen to him speak. Not concerned about food, not concerned about their welfare, but hearing the voice and the words of coming out of his mouth and hanging on every word. I don't know anybody but Jesus. I don't know anybody but Jesus where some people will have such a drive that they'll tear open a roof to lower down their friend knowing that Jesus would heal them. I don't know anybody else that would come to him and take a costly ointment and break it open and wash his feet and dry it with her hair if it wasn't somebody that was very special. Only Jesus is the one that can look at a woman caught in adultery and say, no, your sins are forgiven. I don't know anybody that has compassion like Jesus. I don't know anybody that has the power to speak to the devils and they obey but Jesus. And this is who we're talking about. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is our King. He is our Savior. What we see in Scripture are just examples of things that he did here on earth. But what we also see is the things that he is wanting to do through you and I. Because he said, greater works than these you will do because I go to my Father in heaven. Don't we understand that not only is Jesus walking with us, but he is now in us because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are now residing in this holy temple that I have given to him and say, Lord, this is your house. This is your temple. You come in and you be Lord of this temple. You be the God of this body because I want to do greater works. I want to see blinded eyes open. I want to see miracles. You see, when we begin to say, who is Jesus, we need to start saying, who is Jesus in us? Ooh. Because when we say Jesus is this, this, and this, we need to start looking in the mirror and saying, am I reflecting those things? because he that died for me, we celebrated that last week. He that died for me, he that resurrected for me, and has ascended at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I, now is wanting me to take what he did. He has called me, he has commissioned me, he has ordained me, he's anointed me, and he's did all these things, not just for me, but for all of us in this room, to go and proclaim the gospel and to show the love of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and the might of Jesus, that he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. The church is to be the reflection of Christ. That's us. Unfortunately, some people in church get like the more like the Sadducees and the religious. They like to get on their religious high horse and look down their sanctified noses. Think about it. Jesus made fun of them, but he stooped down to speak to the prostitute. He went in to have lunch with the tax collector. Hello? You see, who is Jesus? Well, without Christ's death, there would be no salvation. Without his resurrection, we would still be steeped in sin and hopelessness. His ascension began his ministry of intercession for us. But when he ascended, he began to intercede for us. But we began to do the work for him. Hello? When was the last time you talked to anybody about Jesus? Think about it. When was the last time we prayed over somebody ourselves? For so many years, we have been told that we got to bring them to church. We got to get them to the pastor. They got to shake his hand or let him pray over them for them to be saved or for them to be healed. When in essence, what the Bible's telling all of us, that all of us have that same power. All of us can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All of us can pray people. All of us should be able to know how to pray people through the sinner's prayer. All of us should know how to lay hands on them. Pastor, I ain't got no oil, no anointing oil. Honey, you go in your closet, you grab some olive oil, you slather them up, and you start praying over them. I guarantee you it will become sanctified. Don't worry about what it goes like or looks like. You just begin to do what God's called you to do. God is interceding in our behalf. You know what that means? I got somebody in heaven fighting for me. Some of you better check your pulse. Let me say that again. You might have not heard that. We have somebody in heaven fighting for us. You got somebody in heaven fighting for your welfare. You got somebody in heaven that's pleading your case. You got somebody that says, Father, forgive them. Lord God, help them. They messed up, but you help them, Lord. They're my child. I died for them. And if we've got somebody in heaven fighting for us, shouldn't he have somebody here on earth that's fighting for him? Don't he have somebody here on earth that's proclaiming the gospel, that's declaring the marvelous works of God? That's where you and I come in. We're to declare the marvelous works of God. We're to declare the glories of God, the beauty of God, the power of God, the miracles of God. Listen, many of us are living, breathing miracles. Hello? I bet you. I know, Pastor, you're not supposed to bet in church. I know. Not supposed to bet, period. I know. I got it. But I would just imagine many of us here could have the same testimony that we should not be here today. I can be one. I should have been dead a few times. But God. You know, I was talking to Travis, some things he's went through serving, you know, when he was in the military and serving our country. You know, but God, he's still around. Many of you here have that, probably that same story. If it hadn't been for a miracle working God, we wouldn't be here today. Isn't that story worth something? I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited. You know, I'm glad to be alive. Yes. I mean, yeah, we got aches and pains, and yeah, I got a knee, a sore. You know, it feels pretty good right now. The anointing's on me. That's great. But hearing about it, you know, a few hours or a little bit, it's going to be hurting again. But the fact of the matter is, I'm glad to be alive. Yes. I'm excited. I'm enjoying watching my kids, you know, growing to adulthood. I'm enjoying, you know, I got a grandbaby on the way. I'm excited about that. I can't wait to hold that little person. I can't wait to see my baby have a baby. Still trying to wrap my brain around that. My mom told me the other day, she goes, you know what's the hardest thing about all that is? I said, what's that? She goes, my baby is going to be a grandpa. I thought, yeah, that would be kind of hard to swallow. But I'm glad to be alive. And the stories we have, that's called a testimony. And the Bible, I remember reading somewhere that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus' part, and the word of our testimony, that's our part. If you're not testifying, I'm not talking about just in here. You're not testifying out there. You're not overcoming. Church, we got to tell who Jesus is. The world, listen to me very carefully. The world is painting a picture of who Jesus is not. It's the church's responsibility to tell who Jesus is and to speak the truth. Because if we don't, let me ask you this. I'm about done, but I'm getting close. Let me ask you this. How, and I know some of you have asked this question, how did some of this stuff, how did our society get to where it is today? How did we get to not only homosexuality, which has been around for a long time, it just came out of the closet. But not only did that come out of the closet, we've seen that transgenders now come out of the closet. We've seen where, you know, it's okay to, you know, that adultery is not bad. It's just an alternative lifestyle or sexual preference. You see how we all become desensitized to all this? To where now it doesn't matter who you sleep with. It doesn't matter. Matter of fact, they've taken that where, you know, you can sleep with your wife or other people's wives or husbands or whatever. To where now even that has went a step further where now they're saying you can sleep with kids. Hello? Pedophilia now is coming out of the closet bold and proud. And if you don't believe me, you haven't been watching much news. I know I'm talking about stuff on the TV. But you see where all this is starting and how all this stuff, and we're just like, well, yeah, it's here. It's bad. It's bad. But we didn't want to talk about it in church. For people to, and I know I'm going to shock some of you, listen, we didn't want to talk about sex in church. And while we kept quiet about sex in church, the world was talking about it, and anything and everything went. Right. Now we see where our society is, and we're trying to catch up. Are you hearing me? That's why we need to keep preaching abstinence. Come on, somebody. We need to preach who is Jesus. Jesus loves the sinner, but does not love the sin. And homosexuality is a sin. Adultery, fornication, sex with anyone outside of the confines of your marriage is a sin. Period. I know one time I made the comment about homosexuality is sin, and somebody called me, but God loves them. Yeah, he loves them. He don't like their lifestyle. Listen, God don't look at a homosexual any different than he looks at somebody that's sleeping around on his wife. They're both sexual sin. They both need to be saved. Period. I heard someone the other day say, well, if Jesus was here today, he'd be doing all these things and start listening to all this stuff, that he'd be okay with all this. I'm thinking, no. Buddy, you go back and read your Bible. He didn't stone the prostitute, but he talked. Listen, she knew what she did was wrong. He loved her, and what did he tell her to do? Go and sin no more. Sometimes we get those two things confused. There's a world that needs to know we love them, but we don't love the sin. We won't stand for the sin. Church, the world needs to know who Jesus is. We're reminded of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We can quote that. We know that. The ultimate example of love is that God loves people. God died for them. Amen? But also, I want to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. I don't have that up, but you can turn there. But it says, who being, Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. It says, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. You see, this is speaking to a deity accepting humanity. Even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So who is Jesus? Well, we can say, yes, he's my friend. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my guide. He's my provider. He's my protector. But who is Jesus to you? If our worship team would come up here, I want you just to think about that for just a moment. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus? And if I can use this and say this part, what kind of Jesus does people see in you? That's the most important question. Because if people see, if you are mean, nobody's here is mean, I know. But if we're mean, judgmental, are you with me? If you're mean and judgmental, that's the kind of Jesus people perceive. But look at the other side of this. Yeah, you got your legalistic people, but then you also got the kind of the more liberal side of it. Well, Jesus is all accepting. Hyper grace junk. And Jesus would accept anything. That's where church, you know, and I hate to say this word, but for context situations, you know that there are gay churches. If you don't know that, there are. There are churches that are openly gay,
yes.
Run by gay ministers that say it's okay to be homosexual. Jesus accepts that.
Yes.
They accept anything and everything under the confines and under the banner of Christ. Well, we know they're not a true church. They're not a Christian church because Christ don't teach that. But, again, that Jesus that they are conveying is an all-accepting Jesus. You don't have to repent of sins because God accepts that. So it comes back to this point. What kind of Jesus are you conveying?
Yeah.
Who is Jesus? How are people reading who Jesus is from your lifestyle? From your actions? From your speech? From your characteristics? You see, that's the important thing. Because if we're going to reach people for Jesus, it's going to come from what they see in us. And I want to end with this last thought. How many of you have led anybody to the Lord? And if you're here today, and I'm not trying to be mean, don't misunderstand. But if you're here today and you've never led anybody to Jesus, think about that for a minute. There is no greater feeling in the world than seeing a lost soul give their life to Christ. I wish I could say I've led thousands and thousands. No, but I've led several. I have to go back and look at my report to see how many. I don't know. And probably some I don't even know, didn't even know about. But there is no greater feeling than seeing people come to Jesus. To know if this Jesus we say we love and we adore and he means all the world to us, then we're not ashamed to share him with people. I mean, we meet people and, I'm not ashamed of my wife. That's my wife, Sherry. She's gorgeous. She's the love of my life. And I'm not ashamed to introduce her to people. This is my wife, Sherry. Why? Because I love her. I respect her. I honor her. I'm not ashamed of her. Shouldn't we be that way with Christ? Here's my Lord. Here's Jesus. He's my friend. He is the one that sticks closer than a brother. You know, they say blood is thicker than water. Family is, speaking about family. Well, we've been bought by the blood. We're family. His blood is upon my life. We're family, and I'm not ashamed of him. I want to ask you one more time, who is Jesus? Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I just ask you right now. Father, while we're asking this question today of who you are, Lord, I know many say, yes, Jesus is my everything. Jesus is my all in all. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. But Lord, there may be some today that don't have that relationship with you. Only you know who's here under the sound of my voice, who's listening today. Lord, you know their life. You know where they are, if they are in right relationship with you. So Lord, I pray for them today and I ask you, Lord God, let them, Father, I pray that their heart is melted and acceptive of you, of your invitation to them today. And Lord, maybe there's some here that have not been living for you like they should. Lord, you're here not to bring condemnation, but to bring love to them. Amen. and to bring your arms open wide for them. Lord, you've come to seek and to save that which is lost. You've come to bring life and bring it to its fullest. You've come to bring a relationship that is beyond comprehension. An intimacy that we have been longing for. Oh, Lord, you want to love us like we've never been loved before. And while friends may reject us and while family may turn on us, God, you never, never, never have given up on us. So, Lord, today it's about you. Today is all about you. May we accept you today. May we live for you like we should. Lord, there's a world out there that needs to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus in us. Father, I pray we all take a hard look in the mirror and see really how we are reflecting Christ. For Lord, today we stand here before you, Lord God, opened and exposed. And you're speaking to every one of us. Those that are living for you and those that are playing games, God, it's time. The games are over. This is a fight to the death. So, Lord, I pray today we answer the question, who is Jesus? Without wavering, without any hesitation, we know who you are. You are God. You are the Christ, the chosen one, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one that came and died for my sins. You were the perfect sacrifice. You were the only one that could die for my sins and wash them away. And you're the one that I'm living for, and I'm standing unapologetically for today. I am a child of God. Lord, have your way right now, I pray. As we come to this altar, Lord God, and ask you for our needs. Oh, hallelujah. Have your way. Father, we love you. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I want to ask you today, every head bowed, every eye closed, just still reflecting on him. Do you know Jesus today? If you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't have the relationship. I don't know how everybody is. I think I do, but you never know. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm not living for him like I should. I want you just to slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I promise you I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. But if you're here today and you know you're not living right, you need to get things right today. Just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? If you're here and you've never accepted him as Lord, I want you to just say, Pastor, I want to accept him today as Lord in my life. I promise you, I will not embarrass you. I will not call you up unless you come. But listen, I'm not going to force you to do anything. That's not my job. I'm here to present Christ. I'm here to love you. Anyone at all? How many today is here ready to live for Jesus like you've never lived for him before?
Amen.
And to let Jesus shine in your life.
Amen.
To make sure that Jesus takes precedent. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I just pray over this body today. Father, you see them. May we live for you like we've never lived before. Father, there's a world that's dying, lost. God, I pray that Jesus, not only is Lord of our life and Lord of this church, but Lord, even outside of this church, may the love of Jesus, may people know who Jesus is by what they see and experience in us. Father, I pray, Lord God, let your will be done in us. And may Jesus be glorified through us. And to you we give all the glory and honor and praise. In the holy name of Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Do you love one another?
Amen.
You know what we need to do now? Go be Jesus to a world that needs him. Go let Jesus shine in you. Has God done anything for anybody in this place?
Amen.
Raise your hand if he's done something for you. You see everybody. You see, I don't know the number, but how many is here? I don't have my glasses on, so I don't know. I can't count real good right now. But there's enough that can set this community on fire.
Amen.
Go be Jesus to a lost and hurting world.
Yes.
That they may live. Amen. Don't forget tonight, Brother Bruce will be preaching tonight. And next Sunday night, our youth service. And so come and be, let's come next Sunday night too and support our youth. Brother Caleb, my glasses on so I can see better. Brother Caleb's supposed to be bringing the word.
Yeah, I didn't forget.
Okay, you didn't forget. All right. He told me a couple weeks ago, Pastor, he said, you got someone lined up for youth service yet? I said, no, not yet. He goes, I got you. I said, okay. So we want to support our young folks, amen?
Amen.
And support them and encourage them. And he's a good young man. And he may get out of line from time to time, but Grandma keeps him in line. Amen.
Amen to that.
Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am.